ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैनो चैप्टर 9 द पैसिंग अवे ऑफ भीष्मदेव स्वनिर्गमम अपहाय मत् प्रतिज्ञाम् ऋतम् अधिकर्तुम् अवप्लुतरतस्तः I don't think that's gonna. This verse is gonna fit that melody. Hari
lion.
Iva
light.
Hanjum
to kill.
Ibam
elephant.
Gata
leaving aside.
Covering cloth.
Fulfilling my desire.
Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise. He got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. Purport. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought on military principles, but at the same time in a sporting spirit, like a friend's fight with another friend. Duryodhana criticized Bhishmadeva, alleging that he was reluctant to kill Arjuna because of fraternal affection. A Kshatriya cannot tolerate insults on the principle of fighting. Bhishmadeva therefore promised that the next day he would kill all 5 Pandavas with special weapons made for the purpose. Duryodhana was satisfied, and he kept the arrows with him to be delivered the next day during the fight. By tricks, Arjuna took the arrows from Duryodhana, and Bhishmadeva could understand that this was the trick of Lord Krishna. So he took a vow that the next day Krishna would have to take up weapons himself, otherwise his friend Arjuna would die. The next day's fighting, Bhishmadeva fought so violently that both Arjuna and Krishna were in trouble. Arjuna was almost defeated. The situation was so tense that he was about to be killed by Bhishmadeva the very next moment. At that time, Lord Krishna wanted to please his devotee Bhishma by keeping Bhishma's promise, which was more important than his own. Seemingly, he broke his own promise. He promised before the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra that he would remain without weapons and would not use his strength for either of the parties. But to protect Arjuna, he got down from the chariot, took up the wheel of the chariot, and hurriedly rushed at Bhishmadeva in an angry mood, as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He dropped his covering cloth on the way, and out of great anger, he did not know that he had dropped it. Bhishmadeva at once gave up his weapons, stood to be killed by Krishna, his beloved Lord. The fighting of the day was thus ended at that very moment, and Arjuna was saved. Of course, there was no possibility of Arjuna's death, because the Lord himself was on the chariot, and because Bhishmadeva wanted to see Lord Krishna take up some weapon to save his friend, the Lord created this situation, making Arjuna's death imminent. He stood before Bhishmadeva to show him that his promise was fulfilled, and that he had taken up the wheel. Om Aganachimanandasya Aganandana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tazmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The Bhagavad Gita is a chapter, as everyone knows, of Mahabharata, which is an actual history of events that happened on this planet. Of course, you know, or you'll find, yes, you've already read, perhaps in the first canto, how Narada Muni criticized Vyasadeva for writing this huge Mahabharata and just making a tiny chapter, Bhagavad Gita. And Narada Muni accused him that the people will just get hung up in all the politics and adventure and excitement of the goings-on in the Mahabharata, and they won't understand Krishna and how to surrender to Krishna. The Mahabharata is very interesting and exciting as a piece of literature. However, the main point of anything is to surrender to Krishna. That is the most exciting thing. But Vyasadeva, in order to attract the minds of the less intelligent, put Bhagavad Gita as a segment within this huge Mahabharata. Narada Muni said, you've encouraged people in irreligion in the name of religion. They're just simply going to get hung up in Mahabharata politics and history, and they'll become hung up in performing pious activities and how to be righteous, and they won't at all understand the principle of surrender to Krishna, which is the most exciting thing, the greatest adventure, and the actual purpose of life. So, to clarify the situation, Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, the graduate study to Bhagavad Gita. Bhishmadev was being criticized by Duryodhana. You all know Duryodhana is the nonsense son of Dhritarashtra. So, Bhishmadev was obliged, he felt, to fight on the side of the sons of Dhritarashtra. Even though he knew they were wrong, he felt, they're maintaining me. I'm a Kshatriya. I'm like a vassal, a duke being maintained by the sons of Dhritarashtra. So I have to take their side in the battle against my beloved Pandavas. That is the way of Kshatriyas, according to the material principle, that they give their allegiance to a king and they fight on his behalf. Kind of like the knights in the medieval times. That's all a perverted reflection of the Mahabharata activities. The knights would swear fealty, that they call it. You're from Scotland with all this stuff. Knights of the Round Table and all that kind of stuff. They would swear a vow of fealty that they would support this king or duke. So, Bhishmadev felt that he was obligated. Actually, he shouldn't have felt that way because the Kauravas had done so many abominable things, trying to kill, trying to disrobe women, all sorts of abominable things. Bhishmadev shouldn't have agreed. But then you say, Bhishmadev, he's one of our 12 great authorities in devotional service. In the sixth canto, these 12 authorities are mentioned. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapalo Manu Palado Janako Bhishma Baliya Vyasaki Vayam Swayambhu Lord Brahma Narada Muni Shambhu Shiva Kumara, the four Kumaras Kapila, Lord Kapila Dev Manu Swayambhuva Manu Janaka, Janaka Rishi Palad Maharaj Yamaraj, Shukadeva Goswami, Bali Maharaj. These are the 12 great authorities on devotional service, Mahajans. And in Mahabharata, it is instructed, Tarko Pratishta Shukdeva Vivina. You cannot understand the absolute truth with your tiny mind. You'll only argue this way, argue that way. And if you consult so many so-called rishis, scholars, metaphysical sages, you'll always get a different opinion out of them. Why? Nasa vashiryasya matam navinam. A pundit or sage or holy man is not a holy man unless he's got a different opinion from the other holy man. The Mahabharata warns it. So what are you going to do? You're looking for the absolute truth. There's so many different opinions, so many different conclusions. You can argue this way, that way. You can listen to this person, listen to that person. But the solution is given. Dharma sitabham nitam gahayam. The real truth of dharma, the actual standard for how to live and what the purpose of life is, that is hidden in the heart of the unadulterated devotee of the Lord. Mahajana yena gata sapranta. Therefore, whatever the mahajana, the pure devotee of Lord Krishna advocates, that is the path we follow. So Bhishmadev, he's listed as one of the 12. What's he doing? Fighting on the side of the Kauravas. Well, Krishna wanted to demonstrate many things. First of all, Krishna wanted to show that even a great person like Bhishmadev, not taking into account Bhishmadev's pure devotional qualities, but taking into account the fact he was the greatest general. Even a greatest general like Bhishmadev could not win on the wrong side. Krishna wanted to show that. And also, most importantly, Krishna wanted to let Bhishma Dev enjoy the pleasure of fighting with him. That's what Bhishma Dev had as his deepest desire, to fight with Krishna. And he got that chance, as you are hearing. Fulfilling my desire, this is Bhishma Dev speaking on his deathbed, fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise. Krishna got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. All the relishable details are there. Krishna rushing forward to Bhishma Dev with the chariot wheel. His outer garment drops. Krishna doesn't even notice. This is what Bhishma Dev is fixing his mind on, this wonderful scene, fighting with the Lord in chivalry. So, we'll talk more about that later. So, Bhishma Dev was on the wrong side. Arjuna, he was saying to Krishna, how can I kill persons like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, who are worthy of my worship? These are my superiors. Dronacharya is my military teacher. He's my guru, in that he taught me the military science. Bhishma Dev, he's my affectionate grandfather-like person. How can I kill them? They're worthy of my worship. But also, Krishna wanted to show that if someone's in authority and they do not act properly, they should be rejected. So Dronacharya, he was, and Bhishma Dev, they were siding with the wrong, on the wrong side. Even though, of course, Bhishma Dev is a great devotee of the Lord, still Krishna, he's accomplishing many things through this battle of Kurukshetra. But now you're getting the inner purpose of Bhishma Dev being on the wrong side, so he could fight with Krishna, give Krishna pleasure in that way. So Duryodhana, the rascal son of Dhritarashtra, had accused Bhishma Dev, you're not fighting hard enough in this war, because you actually, we all know you favor those Pandavas ever since they were born, you've been favoring them, and you're not, you're the greatest military general, you're not coming down heavy enough on these guys. So, you don't understand, you're not a Kshatriya. A warrior takes that as a great insult. How dare you accuse me of not fighting hard enough? It's like a mortal insult. This is considered very agitating, to say the least. So Bhishma Dev was very disturbed. Who is this nonsense? Duryodhana saying that I'm not fighting hard enough. How dare him insult my honor in that way? So Bhishma Dev vowed, tomorrow all five Pandava brothers will die. I have these five special arrows, one for each brother. They'll be finished tomorrow. This is Kshatriya. The Pandavas were so dear to Bhishma Dev, but a Kshatriya has to fight. Even his own father, his own brother, doesn't matter. If the principle is there, he must do it. So Bhishma Dev said, they'll all be dead tomorrow. I've got these five arrows. Duryodhana said, fine. Give me those five arrows. I'll keep them overnight, specially protected. Yeah, so tomorrow you can finish them off. That'll be the end. I'll be king. We'll all live happily ever after. Duryodhana always had everything all figured out. Brilliant material mind, but he had nothing to do with Krishna. He could not understand Krishna. Therefore, all his brilliant plans always failed. So, from the material point of view, if you've read Bhagavad Gita, you know that Duryodhana had every right to feel confident about the battle. His side was materially superior. Just figure, Dhritarashtra had 100 sons, of which Duryodhana was the chief. The Pandavas were only five brothers. Duryodhana had 99 brothers. So he just figured, easy. Plus, Duryodhana had taken Krishna's army, and Arjuna had taken Krishna. As Krishna said, one side can have my army, the other side can have me. So Duryodhana, he didn't know who Krishna was. He was Krishna. He's just one person. I'll take all the armies. Arjuna knew who was Krishna, of course. I'll take Krishna. So Duryodhana thought he had all bases covered. He thought he had everything covered. I've got 99 brothers. There are only five brothers over there. I've got all Krishna's armies. They got this Krishna. Just one person. I've got the greatest general, Bhishma Dev, on my side. They've got Bhima on their side. And Duryodhana always thought, this Bhima, he's just a bird brain. Oh, he doesn't eat a lot. So he had everything all figured out, he thought. But as we all know, and as Sanjaya would conclude at the end of the Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Pasa Dhanodara. Wherever there's Krishna and wherever there's Arjuna, there will be the victory. You are doomed. In other words, Sanjaya told Dhritarashtra, the father of Duryodhana, you are doomed. There's no way you can have victory. So, Duryodhana was very happy with Bhishma Dev's fashioning of the five arrows. Duryodhana kept them in a special place. Tomorrow these boys will be dead. I'll have the kingdom. It'll be all sealed finally. Krishna is super soul in the heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Pradesh Arjuna Tishti. Krishna knew what was going on because Krishna is in everyone's heart. We may know what's going on in our body, but Krishna knows what's going on in every body. That's why in the 13th chapter of the Gita, it is explained that there is the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities. And there are two knowers. One only knows what goes on in one body, but the supreme knower knows what's going on in every body. Can we get some air in here? So, Krishna knew. Duryodhana has these five arrows made by Bhishma Dev for the death of the Pandavas. So Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, don't you remember Duryodhana promised you a benediction? A boon? You can ask whatever you want? Now's the time to ask him. Go to him and ask for those five arrows. You see, a Kshatriya has honor. This is something we cannot understand today. Honor. We have Western dog honor, which means you promised something yesterday, and you know the next day comes along, and that's another circumstance. Yeah, I promised, but that was yesterday. Things have changed. You understand that, right? This is Western dog honor. It has nothing to do with Vedic honor. Vedic honor means even if you take a promise that turns out to be against your self-interest, you still keep it. This is Vedic honor. Westerners, however, they haven't been trained in any kind of honor. They just say promises are made to be broken, as they say. Unfortunately, this even applies. They apply this degraded mentality to initiation vows. At the time of initiation, one promises to follow the regular principles of chant Hare Krishna, to be a faithful servant of the Lord and the spiritual master. So, one is supposed to keep that vow even if there's inconvenience, even if the senses are agitating. Oh, let's have illicit sex. Oh, I don't feel like chanting my rounds. Still, one is supposed to keep that promise, and by the strength of the vow, you make it through all kinds of turbulence. But, as we saw in Prabhupada's attempts to establish Krishna consciousness, so many people would come and they would make that vow, and then when there's some sensual disturbance or when there's some inconvenience or whatever, when the mind takes over and drags them all over the place, they say, oh, well, I promise. But there's someone here in Auckland, one devotee was telling me, yes, my wife and I, we made those promises, but that was when we were young, in the passion of youth. Now we're older, and now we understand that, you know, we just have to focus on the temporary things because, well, we want to be productive in life. So, of course, how can you be productive in life without Krishna? In any case, the point is, lack of honor is a great symptom of our society, the degradation in society. Lack of honor is a great symptom of degradation. There's no truthfulness. No one cares what you say. Yeah, I said something that was yesterday. You understand. Today, it's not feeling the best thing for my senses. Therefore, I can't keep that promise. There's no marriage vows that are intact anymore. Nothing. What to speak of initiation vows. At the time of initiation, one promises before the fire, which is Lord Vishnu, before the spiritual master, before the deities. But, and there's so many witnesses, the sun, the moon, the sky, the demigods are watching. But we all think, yes, that was a promise, but times have changed. You do not know the strength of a vow. Bhishma knew the strength of a vow. That's why he's called Devavrata. He took the divine vow to remain celibate all his life, which for a Kshatriya is inconceivable, in order that his father could marry the woman of his choice. So at that time, when Bhishmadeva made that vow, the demigods showered flowers from the heavenly planets upon it. So anyway, Krishna sent Arjuna to get the arrows. And Duryodhana, even though he's Arjuna's enemy, he accepted. Yes, I did promise you, Arjuna, you could have whatever you want. When Arjuna came before Duryodhana, Duryodhana said, oh, you have come? You want something of me? I did promise you whatever you want. You want the kingdom without a fight? I'll give you the kingdom without a fight. This is Kshatriya honor. Arjuna said, no, there'll be a fight. Kshatriyas, they love to fight. No way Arjuna's going to turn down the fight. The battle of Kurukshetra was such a scene that Kshatriyas from all over the world came to Kurukshetra because they wouldn't miss such an opportunity. That's the way Kshatriyas think, We can't miss a fight like this. The chance to lay down our lives in battle. We can't understand this kind of culture. Why do these guys want to go in battle? You don't find very many real Kshatriyas these days. Mostly you just find wimps and very weak persons. But the Kshatriyas, they love to fight. So, when they heard about the battle of Kurukshetra, they came from all parts of the world. This is also Krishna's plan to gather all the military strength of the world in one place and finish them off. So, they eagerly came. They weren't, begrudging it. Oh, we gotta go fight. Oh, why do we have to go fight? No! They loved a chance for fighting, for gambling, for stealing women, and, kidnapping them and marrying them. They love all that. So, Arjuna said, please, you remember you promised me one thing? Duryodhana said, oh, I'll give you whatever you want. You can have the whole kingdom. We won't fight. I'll give it all to you. Arjuna said, no. There'll be a fight. We won't turn down that. I simply got to ask you for 5 arrows. And Duryodhana immediately went and got the arrows and gave it to him. So, Bhishma heard about this. Krishna is up to his tricks again. Only Krishna could have known all this. So at that time, when he heard that, Vishuddhi vowed, I'm going to fight so hard tomorrow that unless Krishna saves Arjuna, Arjuna will die. In other words, Krishna is going to have to break his promise because Krishna promised he wouldn't fight in this battle. He said, you can either have my armies or you can have me, but I'm not going to fight. So Bhishma was determined, I'm going to break that vow of Krishna, and at the same time, I'm going to relish seeing the Lord in battle. So, that's what happened. As Prabhupada writes in the purport. In the next day's fighting, Bhishma fought so violently that both Arjuna and Krishna were in trouble. Arjuna was almost defeated. The situation was so tense that he was about to be killed by Bhishma. So then Krishna gets a broken chariot wheel, races towards Bhishma to kill him. Meanwhile, Bhishmadeva is shooting arrows, filling Krishna with arrows. But how is Krishna feeling these arrows? What kind of body does Krishna have? No flesh and blood. Krishna is feeling the arrows that Bhishmadeva is piercing him with. Bhishmadeva is giving Krishna pleasure by fighting him. Just like even little living entities like us. You can see they like to fight. I hear wrestling is a great sport here. Because Krishna has this propensity. But Krishna has no pain, bodily pain, gets no sore muscles. He doesn't get indigestion when he's fighting after, eating or something like that. He's got no material body. So, this is the devotee of the Lord, Bhishmadev, filling Krishna with arrows, and Krishna's feeling it to be the greatest loving embrace. How are mundaners going to understand Krishna? Not possible. You cannot understand Krishna unless you hear the Disciple Succession. So, Bhishmadev then just put down his weapons and said, okay, I've seen everything. I've had a chance to fill the Lord's transcendental body with arrows. I've seen the Lord in a fighting mood. My rasa, chivalry is one of these 7 indirect rasas. My rasa, has been fulfilled. Now the Lord may kill me. That'll be the perfection of my life. But then the battle ended. The conch shells ending the combat for the day sounded. So, that's the way Kshatriyas fight. During the day, they try to kill each other like anything. And in the evening, they even go to each other's camps and hang out and enjoy and talk. Great sense control is required, you know, to do that. We have no idea about all this. We just have savages inhabiting the globe today. So, in this way, Krishna enjoyed the fighting of his pure devotee, Bhishma Dev. So much so, Krishna was enjoying that when he was rushing towards Bhishma Dev, his outer garment, his shoulder garment, Uttariya, it dropped off, but Krishna didn't notice. Does that mean Krishna doesn't know? He's not omniscient? No, Krishna's having fun. You know, when you're really enjoying something, or think you're enjoying something, you forget sometimes about your circumstances. A better example is when you're really absorbed in devotional service. You forget about your body. You forget even about your mind. So Krishna is demonstrating how to have the supreme pleasure, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. As Krishna is racing towards Bhishmadev, his outer garment drops off his shoulders, but Krishna doesn't even notice. He's intent, I'm going to kill Bhishmadev. He's trying to kill Arjuna, I'm going to kill him first. Krishna's enjoying fighting with his friends. You know, if you're really going to enjoy fighting, you really got to go and get into it. So that's what Krishna's doing. It's his pure devotee, Bhishmadev, but Krishna's having the greatest pleasure. He's really into it. So we have that propensity too, because Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, has it. Of course, when we fight, there's all sorts of repercussions. But for Krishna, he's got a transcendental body. Even the arrows piercing his body, he felt to be like kisses of his lovers. So, Bhishmadev was so determined to render that service to the Lord that that was the real reason why Bhishmadev was on the other side in the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna consciousness takes a brain to understand. It's not some kind of sentiment. It's not some kind of formula. These books are very deep. And Prabhupada always said, if you want to know me, read my books. Srila Prabhupada never said, if you want to know me, have my physical association. That is not possible now. Nor was it possible even when Prabhupada was physically present on this planet. He never said during the time he was here, if you want to know me, just physically associate with me. No, he said, if you want to know me, read my books. Everything I've always wanted to say, I've put in my books. So you can have the same chance as anyone to associate with Prabhupada through his books. And if you distribute his books, you have the same chance as anyone to become dear to Srila Prabhupada. The same opportunity is there. So these books, they are the greatest gift for the non-devotees, and they are the greatest gifts for the devotees. In fact, Prabhupada would complain sometimes. Back then, the devotees, he said, thought the books were only for selling, not for reading. So, if we want to experience Krishna consciousness, coming through the Mahajan, the pure devotee of the Lord, then we should simply associate with Prabhupada's books and distribute those books to others. By distributing Prabhupada's books to others, you're giving the people his association. Never mind, they may not read them right away. The time will come when they will find them, the most valuable things in their life. It's not our job so much to speculate about when people will come to Krishna consciousness. We do our part and leave the rest to Krishna. This is the mission of the Lord. The Lord had a mission in the battle of Kurukshetra, and the Lord has a mission now. If you participate in that mission, you get credit, just like Arjuna got the credit. We want to be recognized by Krishna as having done some little something. We don't want to be parasites. So-called parasites in the service of the Lord, just mooching off of Krishna. We want to give to Krishna. And in giving to Krishna, we get Krishna. So we have a tremendous opportunity this month. It just requires a bit of sacrifice. If we all go beyond our normal level, if we all just demand of ourselves a little bit more, or even quite a bit more than we usually do, you will all feel transcendental satisfaction at the end of the marathon. And you'll be shocked. How was it that just by working hard for Krishna, to spread Krishna's glories, I'm feeling so satisfied? I didn't do anything for me. For some of you, it's going to be the first time in your life where you buckled down for a whole month for the satisfaction of someone else other than your own senses. It'll be revolutionary. So, don't miss this opportunity for anything. There's a special mercy available during the Christmas Marathon. Srila Prabhupada relished Christmas Marathons so much. We just try to do our best. We have a little competition, of course, but the main thing is everyone should do their best. Krishna knows whether you're doing your best or not. If you're doing your best, the Lord from within your heart will show pleasure upon you. The deities will show pleasure upon you. Srila Prabhupada will show pleasure on you. Your spiritual master will show pleasure on you. In this way, it's a great chance to actually experience the mercy of the Lord rather than just talking about it. We're not theoretical. We have the experience. You want to experience the love of, the flood of love of God, the ocean of love of God? Well, here is your chance. So we put in extra hours during this month. We set aside our mental platforms. We forge ahead with great strength, knowing that if people would simply get these books, then that is the greatest thing that can happen for them. And then after the Christmas marathon, when we flooded the country with books, then we work on how to distribute more books and get people to read the books they have. So in this way, our work is never done. Krishna has given us such ecstatic service. So now, by Srila Prabhupada's inconceivable mercy, inconceivably, New Zealand is known throughout the world as a world distribution power. Tiny little country, 3.5 million people. So, this shows you that Lord Chaitanya can do the impossible. So let us continue to try and receive the mercy of the Lord. And you will all be happy in that way. You'll conquer those material desires. Clarity will come into your life. You'll actually taste what is Krishna consciousness just by sacrificing your energies to distribute Prabhupada's books to others. There's no need to be mental about it. You just, nothing to it but to do it, and you'll understand Krishna more. Any questions?
In terms of the devotee's suddenness, which should, because generally during the marathon, certain aspects of sudden may be sacrificed, what do you recommend the best balance program?
Chant 16 rounds. Obviously, during the month of December, we hopefully we've read enough before this month, and we can kind of put in extra time during this month of December. A lot of time in actual engagement of the body in the Lord's service. More hours, more time, more effort. a special effort this month. And then, in January, down in the South Island, everyone can get into their hearing and chanting again. But for now, 'tis the season to be jolly. The time to go here and there with great dedication, determination, and then at the end of the month, if at the end of the month we can all collapse in a great heap, that's fine. That'll be great mercy. on December 31st, everyone just collapsed in a great heat. Great. Then we'll rest here in chair and go on to ring Krista. Don't be afraid of getting exhausted in Christmas service. Don't think your life is so precious that you can't become exhausted for the Lord. Don't think we're so pretty and cute that we can't strain ourselves a bit. So we'll send the kitty corpse out with Bhakti Siddhanta's body. And I think Amyatma is taking Luke. Aaron's already gone.
Yes.
Didn't waste any time. Okay, then we have Matt heading up the home frontier. We'll have Graham for a while. And who else is here? Tim, he's a part of the support staff. he's still in training. James, the Rock Foundation, in the kitchen, keeping the boys supplied with nice carob cakes. You have to send a few in the post.
Yeah.
I'll be taking somebody with me from time to time. Let's really focus. Just for 1 month, let's try to put aside all our unnecessary anxieties and phobias. Just for 1 month. Then if you want, December 31st, you can take them all upon yourselves again. You can reinstall your mental platform. But for the month, let's try to, do without these things. So go out there, work hard, have a good time spreading Krishna consciousness. Remember, it's not by our strength. We are getting the mercy coming down through the civil succession. Don't think you're the doer, but work hard so that Krishna will empower you. Any other questions? Well, yes, but December, this month, is the special effort. So, this is a marathon effort. After December 31st, we go back on our normal schedule, which is, that's another thing we'll be discussing. We want to stress learning the philosophy of Krishna consciousness as well as distributing it. We want like a program of combined program of study and book distribution, contact center time. You want a systematic program for studying the books so that you can rely on the two swamis here for that. They will be teaching you about the books, how to study the books in a systematic way, and then also we'll be doing our usual contact center time. So is there anybody who's not ready for action? You ready? Okay. So let us do something more wonderful. By Lord Caitanya's inconceivable mercy, this tiny country is becoming flooded with Prabhupada's books. It's never happened before. Never happened before. Even when Prabhupada was physically present in New Zealand, there was never a book distribution entity. But now, inconceivable, but we're not going to worry too much about how it's happening, how inconceivable it is. We're just going to go on and try to get some attention from Krishna, get some mercy. Then we'll overcome those material desires. Then we can understand what Krishna is. You won't just be sentimental believers, theoretical. That's really dry. All right. So I'll be seeing you all from time to time. And I'm getting a little action myself, too. Can't let you guys have all the fun. All right. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
You're something on our
key. Sri Krishna. So you're going to show them the product, the Nittai.